Look, Bumble knows you're exhausted by dating. All the, must not take yourself too seriously, and 6-1 since that matters, and what do I even say other than, hey? Well, that's why they're introducing an all-new Bumble, with exciting features to make compatibility easier, starting the chat better, and dating safer. They've changed, so you don't have to. Download the new Bumble now.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Today we got the one and only Amber Rose on the show. How are you feeling?
Good. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling great.
You're going to be a daddy in a couple days.
I know. And so when you hit me up saying that you were interested in doing an interview, that was like the number one thing I said to my girl is I'm like, I feel like you need Amber's energy in your life right now, because my girl right now is kind of at that stage where, you know, the OnlyFans, as you reach the 9 months pregnant, it might start to dip down a little bit.
Right.
I don't know if you've been through that experience, but I mean, you know, she's kind of like losing contact with her like identity as a hot girl. And I keep trying to like advise her, like,
she's,
it's going to be okay.
She's a pregnant girl now.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, she's still very hot.
Yeah.
For sure.
It's all just a process. You've been through it two times now.
I'm super mom, 100%. Mm. I can give you guys all the little secrets and all the best formulas. And I don't know if she's going to breastfeed or not.
But I can.
I mean, she says that now. We'll
right.
See.
Is it more taxing than you think?
It's very time consuming. It hurts. I mean, my nipples would like bleed sometimes.
Wow.
They get chapped. I mean, it's a really nice bonding experience at first, but then after a while you're like, fuck, it's a lot.
Wow, that's interesting.
Because then you have to pump, and then if you want to go out to, you know, like after the baby, I'm sure you guys are going to want to go out to eat.
Right.
And she's going to be like, okay, so I can't leave until I pump, and it has to be enough milk for the baby. It's a lot.
Right. So let me ask you that. For your first baby, what was the mentality, and how is it different now that you're on your second one? Like, does it feel infinitely different because you're so much more used to it and you've been through this process already?
Well, I think with Sebastian, as a new parent, you make mistakes.
Like, right.
You figure it out as you go. And so that's why I say I'm super mom now, because with my new baby, Slash, it's like I know everything already.
Right.
I know how to calm them down better. Like I said, the food, the formula, the products, the baby products, all that stuff. Even, you know, when you have a new baby, you get your baby a bunch of sneakers and a bunch of bullshit that they're never going to wear.
Right.
They're going to grow out of them. You're going to waste a lot of money.
Yeah.
A lot of cute little outfits you're having. Can I say it?
Girl.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're having a girl. I didn't know if it was like a surprise.
No, definitely.
But, your baby's going to be in onesies all day. You're going to change diapers all day.
Right.
And with my husband now, because you know, I have two different baby daddies.
Right.
With my husband now, he's like, let's get these Jordans. Let's get this. And I was like, look, I already have a kid. I'm telling you, like, let's not do this. And now he's like, I'm so glad we didn't buy a bunch of dumb shit, because we would never use it.
Right. See, that's a big decision. Like, do you get fresh with your kid? Because I sometimes will see these rappers rocking like matching Gucci suits with their kid. And I'm like, wow, that looks like it costs like 10, 20 grand for a cool Instagram photo.
No, I don't.
You don't do it.
Nope. I don't, because kids spill stuff all over their clothes, grease, chicken nuggets, ketchup. They grow so fast. So you don't want to get Gucci and stuff. They're gonna wear it once, they're gonna get a bunch of shit on it, and then they're gonna grow out of it in a week.
Right. And they also just have no idea. I feel like it's kind of sinister to like ingrain this appreciation for Italian designer luxury products into your kid's head from day one.
Yeah, for the most part, I get a lot of my kids' stuff. Like, I get a lot of Nike stuff.
Okay.
Because Nike's like affordable and it still looks cool. Because I have two boys. But I get a lot of like t-shirts and stuff from Cotton On, Target. Just so if they spill shit on it, it's like, just throw it away and get another one out the closet, you know?
Definitely. Yeah, because it's so interesting getting ready for this interview and going back and like reviewing like the early days of Amber Rose being a public figure, because now it feels like you've gone through this huge shift where, you know, in the early days, like you seemed, you know, you were out, you're at the clubs, you're being photographed, all these different people doing all these different things. And now it feels like you've kind of gone through this transformation where you've realized that it makes you happier to live like a little bit more low key of a life and be a mom and stuff. Is that accurate?
I mean, I would just say I went from my 20s to my 30s, like everybody else, you know, like I don't take shots anymore. I get hangovers much faster.
Right.
It's just not, I don't know. A lot of that shit just isn't that fun anymore. I've been in the clubs for so long. It's like, you know, it's not, it's just not, different things are fun for me now.
Right. No, I feel that way for sure. Whenever I see my friends in the club and I'm looking at Instagram and I'm like, it really just looks like 10 dudes standing in a section in a loud building and maybe they like get some girls to come over and talk to them. And it just doesn't really, you know, if you've done enough of it, like, but you do have that time period in your life where you're 20 and like going to the cool club and like being around people and getting to like, you know, bump elbows with Guy Fieri. It just seems like the most exciting thing on earth. Right.
Right.
Or someone else. Maybe.
Love his show.
No, yeah, me too. Huge Guy fan.
Yeah.
I say him because one time I went to the club in Miami and just was like hanging out with Guy Fieri and I'm like,
fanned out.
I don't think I could ever really go to a club after that, because what the fuck is going to be better than that? You know,
I ain't mad at it.
Right. So yeah, you feel kind of like over that side of things. So like what are the things that you're excited about besides the motherdom thing? Like, are you excited about anything business wise, et cetera?
Yeah, I'm really excited about my OnlyFans. You know, I was a stripper for a long time and I feel like it's like a digital strip club. Like, it's just fun for me. I feel like I'm going back to my roots and, like, you know, I think that a lot of people don't like to admit it, but, like, for example, when I was a stripper, the reaction I used to get when I went on stage, you don't really get that reaction anymore as a famous person.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, you get a reaction, but you get a very different reaction. It's more like, oh my God, you're Amber Rose. Can I get a picture?
Right.
It's not like, oh my God, you're so beautiful. What's your name? Where are you from? Like, they already know.
Yeah.
So it's like, I know why you're coming over to talk to me.
Right. No, I could totally understand.
It's not the
that.
Same energy.
I remember like going to strip clubs back in the day, and like there would always be just that one girl that everybody was kind of waiting to get on stage. Like the one girl who just happened to be like the hottest girl in the club. I feel like that was probably you for a while before you sort of like broke out of that and just got into the entertainment industry.
I was always
in
the
general.
Hottest girl in the club.
Right.
I feel like. I mean, I just had, you know, I was, but I also was a dancer at a time where you had to audition. Like, you had to be a really bad bitch to get in the club. And this is before Instagram and shit. So, like, once girls became, like, Instagram models, strip clubs kind of went downhill because it was like, we need girls to work here. So we'll pretty much take whoever we can get.
Right.
Because all the bad bitches are on Instagram making money.
Yeah, it's crazy when you think about how much Instagram and now OnlyFans has kind of like taken all the power in that regard and put it in the hands of the performers or the girls.
Yeah, but it's cool. It's cool. Yeah, you get to kind of do your own thing on your own time.
I know girls who have like 10, 15,000 followers who are making like $15,000 a month off OnlyFans.
That's great.
Which is crazy to me, because that's not a lot of followers, but they're clearly like monetizing the fuck out of the followers that they do have. Yeah. And when you think about that dollar amount in comparison to like the average person who starts stripping, I mean, the fact that you get to do that and you don't have to leave your house and you can just hook up with your boyfriend or just take photos of yourself or whatever, I mean, that's like, that's pretty unbelievable, this change that
we're seeing. My husband literally is the creative director of all my OnlyFans stuff. Like,
interesting.
He just thinks it's cool. He loves that I love him, but I still have my freedom to do what I want.
Right, because last night when we were checking out your OnlyFans or like looking into your Instagram and his Instagram, I'm like, oh shit, he got her link in his bio. That's some real support right there.
Hell yeah.
Yeah.
Hell yeah.
That's dope though. What made you actually decide that you wanted to do it? I'm assuming you probably thought it was like too porny for you to do it for a period of time, and then you...
No, I just had, was pregnant.
Oh, well, that makes sense.
And then I was
too,
like, yeah, chunky after the baby. I kind of wanted to feel comfortable again and work out, and I would have done it much sooner.
Right.
Yeah, I just wanted to, like, you know, be ready for it.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's interesting too, because like a lot of like the stripping thing, I mean, as you get to be a bigger and bigger name, that just becomes way more difficult to pull off. Like all of a sudden, like a really famous chick in the strip club just seems like there's a lot that could go wrong with that.
For sure.
Whereas you expressing yourself through the OnlyFans is like, it's 100% your control of how you want it to be put out there and stuff.
Yeah. I love it. It's fun.
Definitely.
I love watching the money go up. Like I love refreshing the page and watching the money go up. It's tight.
Yeah, I could imagine that. It's probably pretty good. Yeah. I'm yet to break into the OnlyFans game, but me and her, we have a new thing. We can actually, we'll give you a sneak peek of it before you leave, because okay, we're pretty excited about it. But yeah, so I was wondering about that, like in terms of the advice that you would give to somebody who was at that stage. Cause like when you were just stripping, like how did you think of your life at that point? Like, were you convinced that that was just the thing that you wanted to be doing, or were you trying to parlay that into something bigger or different?
Well, at the time when I was stripping, it was the best time of my life.
Really?
Let me just say that. Yes, it was the best time of my life. Not that my kids are a burden or anything, but I didn't have children. I was free. You know, if I wanted to sleep at a friend's house on their couch or like kind of just be a nomad and do whatever I want, it was just a fun time. And I was making really good money, mm-hmm, like to be in my 20s and shit, like, or, you know. But what's crazy is that I always, like, I grew up in South Philly.
Right.
And since I was a kid, I would always tell my friends, I'm gonna live in Hollywood, I'm gonna be famous, and I'm not gonna fucking be here. Like, this is not gonna be my life.
Really?
And what's crazy is like when The Secret came out and they're like, if you believe it, you'll achieve it, all that bullshit. But, and it's corny, but it's really true. Like, maybe I was delusional, but I wasn't, because it really happened for me. And the steps, the way it happened wasn't exactly what I thought was going to happen or how it was going to happen. But my first apartment was on Hollywood and Highland,
mm-hmm,
when I moved to LA.
Right.
Yeah. And I just knew that wasn't the end for me. That wasn't going to be my whole life.
That's interesting. Do you feel like your parents were a big part of why you had that self belief, or was that more of just like a thing that you found along the way?
So one thing that I do with my kids, what my mom did with me, she always told me to dress myself, make my own choices, and never lie to her. Even if it disappointed her, like, never ever lie, no matter what I did, always tell her the truth. And when I was younger and I watched Sinead O'Connor's video, Nothing Compares to You, and I was like, wow, she's just so beautiful. Like, one day I would really want to like shave my head like that. And I turned 18, I was like, I want to do it. And my mom, she would be like, do that shit. Like, I would be young and I would be like, I want to wear like a blue sock and an orange sock, and I want to wear two different sneakers, and I want to like,
right,
wear my hair crazy. And my mom would be like, do that shit. You look beautiful. Like, you know, she just, oh, and I looked crazy.
Right.
I have pictures. But she always pushed me to just be an individual and just believe in myself, whatever that was. And I don't know.
That's really interesting, because like, once you stop being a kid, like, your whole childhood is just the procession of basically anything interesting and weird being sort of beaten out of you by societal pressure,
right,
you know? You're,
right,
like 3 years old and you're wacky and crazy and you're throwing paint at the wall and you're wearing whatever clothes you want, and then by the time you're like 10, all of a sudden you're like really concerned about what the other kids in school are going to think of you.
Right, right.
And it's interesting to see how you can kind of like set a kid up mentally to be able to survive that with who they are intact.
Yeah, well, I mean, she didn't know that she was building me up to be famous and deal with scrutiny.
Right.
So for me, people deal with trauma and scrutiny and this lifestyle in very different ways. But for me, I sleep like a baby at night. Like, nothing bothers me, because my whole life people talk shit about me. They always said I was weird and different. And, you know, I would knock on my friend's door and their parents would be like, the weird girl from down the street is knocking on the door, you know?
Really?
It was just who I have always been. So to see comments and shit is just like, oh, it's everyday life for me pretty much.
I mean, you were very ahead of your time in that regard, and especially in the regard of like, it used to be a lot harder. Like, people used to have a much more defined role in order to be famous. And with you, it's like everybody just accepts that you're a celebrity and that it doesn't really matter that music is not your primary thing or that you're not like a model in the traditional sense. But like, now the world's really very much set up for that, because any girl could, or, you know, presumably any guy too, if any guys out there are interested, you could set up OnlyFans and just sort of like, you know, it doesn't have to be sexual in nature, which is another cool thing that I keep seeing on OnlyFans, is that people are finding more and more ways to just like share more of themselves than they're willing to give away for free on YouTube and Instagram, and sort of create a living off of that.
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
when you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Yeah, I definitely came out at a time where it was, people blamed me for becoming famous.
Mm.
And I was like, how are you blaming me? Blame the consumer. I'm not doing shit. I'm just in a relationship with someone at the time that I cared about. I didn't even say anything. I didn't do any interviews. I didn't do anything crazy to try to be famous. It just happened for me. So it's like, you want me to go back to Philly and fucking be a dancer again, or do you want me to capitalize on what God put into my life, I guess?
Mm.
You know what I mean? It's like, the thing of it is, like, once you become famous, it doesn't really equate to money.
Right.
Like, you have this fame.
You.
Yeah, you have this fame, and then it's like, okay, I have this fame. Like, how the fuck do I make money now?
Right.
Like, what do I do, you know?
And it's funny, because that, like, you got a lot of the hate that, you know, Paris Hilton got, that Kim Kardashian got, where it's like, we can't put them in a box of exactly what their value is to the world.
Right.
So somehow this is going to like enrage us as a community, which doesn't seem like it really happens that much. Like, I could think of a whole bunch of different girls who are popping in the rap industry who basically dated a rapper, built up their profile through that, and now they're a model, they're hosting clubs, they're maybe rapping on their own. There's like a ton of different girls that are floating around my head. There are examples of that. And nobody seems to really be that pressed about like how they got there or if they deserve this position that they're in.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said, it was at a time where it just, it wasn't happening for anyone. It, you know, and the thing with Paris Hilton and Kim Kardashian is that they came from money. Like, you know, Paris was like an heiress, and like, and I was like this, I grew up very poor in Philly. I was a dancer, and then I started dating one of the most famous people in the world, and they were mad at me for that.
Mm.
I'm just like, I don't, you should be happy.
Right.
You should be happy for me that I don't have to like, that I have an opportunity to have a better life, I guess.
Definitely. It's interesting when you talk about the way that your mom raised you to be, you know, very, very confident and stuff, because that's the same shit that they always say about Kanye, of that, you know, his parents really, or his mother really taught him that he could be whatever. And sometimes people try to use that as an explanation of why he's sort of, you know, gotten into this mental space that we see him in, where he clearly thinks that he's sort of above having to fit into almost any societal conventions, like with the whole him running for president but not really being actually registered to run for president or whatnot. Do you think that being around him, that you sort of soaked up some of that energy of really starting to believe that you were capable?
No.
It didn't really matter.
I didn't soak up anything from him. Me and him are two very different people.
Really?
I'm a compassionate person. I have empathy. I'm a good person. That's why people love me. That's why anybody I've ever dated always loved me. They never, you can't really mention anyone that says anything really bad about me, except for him, because I got away.
Right.
Like, I'm not like him at all.
Right.
I didn't get anything from him.
But he didn't teach you anything about like how to be a celebrity or how...
No.
You could sort of like just become whatever it is you wanted to be. So do you not really have a lot of respect for the way that he's been carrying himself in the media and stuff the past couple of years?
I mean, I'm indifferent. I don't really care. I don't really think about him like that. For me, it's just some guy that I dated 10 years ago.
Mm.
You know, I don't feel a connection where I'm like, I'm concerned. That's not my business. That's his wife's business, what he does. But for me, I'm not that person at all.
Mm. Does the Trump support rub you one way or another?
Rub me? I mean, I don't personally care what he does. He's just an ex-boyfriend to me. But I could see why he loves Trump. They're twinsies.
Right.
They're literally the same person.
Wow. What do you mean by that? Just the sort
they're
of narcissism?
They're just the same person. There's things that Trump says, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's Kanye. Like, that is him.
Right.
You know, so he probably sees himself in Trump, and that's why he supports him, I'm assuming.
Yeah, that definitely seems like the case.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't really seem like he's all that aware or concerned about Trump's, like, plan for the country. I think it just more relates to him on like
a
personality level.
Well, the fact that
level.
Trump uses white supremacy to fucking get what he has to say across to people is, I don't know. As a person of color, it bothers me.
Right.
But I don't know. To each his own.
Definitely. Yeah. I mean, I guess that is true that we haven't really seen anybody really have anything all that negative to say about you. So like in a public situation, like obviously there's always gonna be people hating and stuff, but in terms of people that you've been really involved with, so when he's had negative things to say about you in the past, does that really kind of stand out to you as like, oh wow, like that's an example of somebody who's has negative things to say about me that might be disconnected from the average person who deals with me's reality?
Let me ask you a question.
Sure.
You're famous for 10 years. Mm-hmm. You date a whole bunch of girls. Everyone has nice things to say about you, but one person right. that obviously has a problem with everybody has something negative to say about you. I mean, I don't know. You can, like, do the math at that point. Like, it's just, I don't know.
And even at that time, it came off as slut-shamey. Like, you know, the idea that you know, because of you maybe being a dancer or whatever, or because maybe he thinks that the woman he's with now is of like a higher social status or something. But it was like an implication that you were like dirty in some way, which really stood out as like a weird thing to throw on somebody
well,
that you shared so much with.
That's what narcissists do, right? So like you share 2 years with someone, you take them around the world, you buy them all the jewelry, you shout out to the world how much you love them and how much fun you have with this person. And then the person decides that this isn't what they want their life to be. I opted out. I don't want my life to be like that. I'm not that type of person. And I don't know if he says things to make his wife more comfortable. But to slut shame me and say, you needed 30 showers, it's like, bro.
Right.
Took me around the world.
Mm.
Like, since when did you need 30 showers? Like, I could see if it was like, you know, one night thing and you want to slut shame me, okay. But
right.
It's like, you've done a lot for me. You've done a lot for me. I'll, you know.
But that was ultimately your decision that you just realized this, you were never going to be happy or content in that environment?
Yeah, it's just not my type of people.
Right.
It's not my, I like down-to-earth, cool people. I like compassionate people. I'm not vindictive. I've been offered book deals to talk about him and just wild shit. I don't want money from stuff like that. That's not good. Not all money is good money. That's not, I don't live my life like that.
Right.
It's just that wouldn't make me happy to, even if somebody is like picking on me, which he has for 10 years, he has picked on me for 10, he has bullied me for 10 years.
So is there more than what we might know of as the public?
I mean, I think that if you looked up every time he has bullied me, maybe online, I haven't looked it up. I'm sure a lot of stuff will come up. But I just move on. I'm happy. I have an amazing husband. I have 2 beautiful kids. He just called me a prostitute, like at his what's that, babe?
Sunday service.
His rally. Or, okay. His rally. He called me a prostitute and like 10 years later, just leave me alone. I don't bother you. I don't talk about you. I mean, obviously it comes up in interviews because it's a big part of why I'm famous. So right. I try to give good interviews by not shying away from that. But at the same time, it's like, bro, just leave me alone.
Right. I mean, when you put it like that, it really does seem pretty fucked up.
Yeah. And then I'm a woman. Like, what? You're bullying me. Just move on with your life.
And the weirdest part about it is that he had this period right before he became Mr. Super Christian conservative guy where he was like hosting the Pornhub Awards, where he was, you know, doing all this different stuff, where he was going to Vixen and he was just being really involved with that. And I mean, from my perspective as somebody who does porn and is dating a porn star, I thought that was great. I was like, this is really cool that he's like, you know, presenting sex work in a positive light. And then to see him take such a radical turn backwards has just been sort of odd.
Yeah, and then say he had to take 30 showers after.
Right.
I don't know. It's just, and then his wife has like a porn, which I always thought, yeah, I always stood up for Kim. I always was like, it's like she had an ex-boyfriend that she loved at the time and they made a sex tape. Like, I don't know. It's right. just not a big deal to me. Like,
there's definitely
it happens
things,
in life.
There's been things that he's said that made it pretty obvious that he's still tormented to some degree by that tape existing.
Oh, I don't know.
Which I think is crazy. Because to me, like, I think it's amazing that she's famous and that that's a big part of the story. Why?
Yeah, it's tight.
Because who gives a fuck? Now we've gotten to see her be successful in all these other realms of business and stuff. Like, I mean, whatever your entry point into the game is.
People just fucking look into it. Like, it's just such a taboo thing. It's like, she was young. She loved somebody. She made a tape. It came out and she capitalized off of it. Like, if you hate on that, I mean, you can't.
Right. What was she supposed to do? Stay normal and, or I mean, not that she was ever really normal, but like, how could she not want to take advantage of that?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
Right. Okay, but your current relationship, AE, tell us about what the difference is in terms of how you guys have such a strong bond and what exactly it is that keeps you guys solid and that makes him the guy you want to spend your life with.
Well, he's from Oakland.
Okay.
I'm from Philly. And we're both hometown, down home people.
Right.
We still have those roots where, you know, we barbecue with the kids and we're just not, we don't let all this shit get to us. You know what I'm saying? He's, like I said earlier in the interview, he's very, very supportive. He obviously knows what type of interview you conduct, and he's here supporting me, and you know, I'm willing to answer questions and give you a good interview, you know, and he doesn't care about that shit. Like, he knows that my heart is with him and we love our children, and he treats Sebastian like his own. And that's what initially made me really love him, because yeah, my son fell in love with him, and it was just like, he just wanted, where's AE? Where's AE? I want to play with AE. Like, where's he at? And he just, and so I knew when I had a baby with him, he was just going to be a really good dad and a good person.
That's amazing. Yeah. Because Bash is like, I was looking at Instagram. It's like a whole dude all of a sudden. How old is he?
He's seven.
Seven. Looking like a whole man. I couldn't believe it.
He's like 4'5". Like, he's really tall for a seven-year-old. He's like in the 99th percentile. So he'll probably be like 6'5".
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I mean, it's dope, honestly, to see you in a relationship, because I feel like a relationship like this, because I feel like so many people basically like get rich and famous, and then their whole life is like a rush to try to live up to that, to try to, you know, basically only do things that put them in that category. And I just like don't get that. And like, you know, when I got to the point where I started getting money and I really started trying out, like, you know, dressing in nicer clothes or buying more expensive shit and everything like that, and I just ultimately didn't really find that much happiness in that. Whereas I would say that my raw experiences of hanging out with people that I'm actually really friends with and doing things that I would do before I got to any sort of level of status is, you know, it's just infinitely more enjoyable to me.
100%.
Right.
That's exactly how I feel.
Definitely.
Yep.
So when you go back to Philly and stuff, do you go back?
No.
You don't care at all?
Nope.
No relationship to it? No, care? That's how I feel about New Hampshire, where I'm from as well. Yeah, I can hear that.
Nope.
Nothing? There's no, like, part of you that wants to go and support the 14-year-old girls that love you from Philly or something?
No. Philly has done nothing for me but scrutinize me and fucking... Listen, it's an ignorant statement for me to say a whole land mass of people right. are not good. So I'm not going to say that. I'm just saying my experience with my hometown where I'm from has not been the greatest. I know I do have a lot of fans and supporters out there, and I love you guys. But for me to be in Philly, I don't know. It's just they were never nice to me. They were just never nice. And a lot of people say that. They'll be like, sometimes where you're from, they're the worst type of haters.
Right.
Your own hometown, they hate on you the most. So.
And especially on the East Coast, a lot of people on the East Coast, I feel like, have been much slower to sort of like understand how people were going to become celebrities going into the future and stuff, because right. I feel that way about like everybody I've seen sort of blow up out of the East Coast. It's just a lot of times people just don't seem like they get it in the same way and right. just aren't really necessarily as supportive. One thing that I think is so funny is the way that once my girl got pregnant, I just like got nonstop, never ending comments about like, your kids are going to be ashamed once they get old enough. They're going to be bullied in school. Right. Like, I've gotten that exact comment maybe like 100,000 times throughout right. this pregnancy. So I'm sure that you've heard
congratulations, that. Congratulations. You made it.
Yeah. It's like a level, because I'm sure everybody else who's ever done anything naked on the internet gets the same thing.
Right.
What's your thought process when you read? Obviously, you probably don't really think much of those comments, but how would you react if you were going to give them the time of day?
Oh, if I was going to give them the time of day?
Yeah, like what would be your honest reaction to that if you did want to just sort of give a concise version of that?
I don't know. I'll just say this. So my 7-year-old, Sebastian, I talked to him about everything. He knows that I was a stripper. Mm-hmm. I have clear heels that they are not stripper heels, but I have clear heels in my closet. And it's funny, a couple months ago, he brought them out into the living room. He said, Mom, are these the ones you used to strip in? Are these the clear heels you used to strip in?
Right.
Because he asked me, he's like, what do you do? And like, how do you do it? And I explained to him that, you know, especially in the digital age and phones and computers and kids and parents and older siblings, they all talk amongst themselves. And then my baby goes to school.
Right.
I just want him to have a heads up on everything. Uh-huh. And I tell him everything in a way where he can fully understand. You know, I don't give him like, I don't say like, oh, well, lap dances go like this.
Right.
Obviously, he's fucking 7. But I let him know that the human body is a human body. And for women, we are able to own our body, and men should not police what we do with our bodies. And that's how mommy made her money, and that's it.
Yeah, like all these people who have this like internalized shame about how women should behave themselves, or men too, it's just like the idea that your kids are gonna just naturally have that same belief about how a woman should, you know, be revealing herself publicly or whatever. It's like that you grew up with that mentality, and I understand, because I guess I did too. You know, I remember being a kid and like finding a copy of Vanity Fair with Demi Moore naked on the cover, and I just didn't understand. I was maybe like 6, and I really thought my mom was a lesbian, and I was freaking out for like a period of time because I just didn't understand. I feel like that's the challenge, is to raise your kids so that they have like a better understanding of that kind of thing, so that they won't at some point get freaked out. I can imagine if you raised your kid his whole life without ever knowing anything about what you had done, and then all of a sudden some kid in school is like, your mom used to be a stripper or whatever, then I could understand the kid.
Yeah, that's fucked up. I'm not doing that to my kids. Right. They're going to know everything. Period. They're going to know everything. And yeah, it's kind of like, you know, they're going to go in knowing that kids will say that, and they're going to already have the comeback and the answer, and they're going to know how to protect themselves from that.
Have you ever had the conversation with your kids like, you know, you might not love the fact that mommy used to be a stripper, but you see this big house you live in? Well, it was all part of the plan. You can't have one without the other.
No, I'm like, you're going to love the fact that I was a stripper because you weren't even thought of. So don't even ask me nothing crazy.
That's true. I mean, you could have the conversation with them like, you might not have been ranked as highly in the genetic you know, lottery. If, you know, if I basically, if I hadn't made a bunch of money doing this, then I might have been having sex with much lower caliber guys. And then your genetics might not be as good. You know, we might still be in Philly and your dad might be a bus driver.
Oh,
and
my goodness.
I'm not trying to put that on you.
That's
but,
funny.
Do you feel like you get a lot less of like the paparazzi bullshit than you used to, or is that still like a presence in your life? I watched a bunch of paparazzi videos in the lead up to this.
No, I just don't go out as much.
Mm.
But when I go out, it
still happens.
It's real, yeah.
Right.
It's definitely real. Yeah.
I saw a video of you going into a bodega and or like a liquor store, and mm-hmm. it was titled "Amber Rose Flaunts Massive Cleavage Stopping for Fast Food," and watching that made me feel so bad for you in terms of just dealing with that, especially because the filmer was really creepy and he kept calling you beautiful.
Yeah.
And it was just super weird. I don't know. Do you think that there should be laws against like being able to just follow people around and harass them like that?
Yes, 100%.
Right.
Yeah. I mean, look at Princess Diana. She like died because of paparazzi trying to get away from them. Yeah, you have no privacy. You know, it's really unfortunate because, I mean, obviously I'm in a relationship now, but when I would like be single and like kind of date guys or like want to go out to dinner, I couldn't do that.
Mm.
I would be like, hey, you know, are you coming to my house or am I coming to your house? Even if it like wasn't sex or anything, just to get to know the person.
Mm.
You can't really go out and have coffee with somebody because then the next day it's like Amber's dating this guy or Amber's dating that guy. And I'm like, I just fucking met him. I'm not dating him. We had coffee, you know, and then you got to go and explain like, this isn't my new boyfriend. I'm not dating him. We're not doing nothing. We're just getting to know each other. So then you would have to like invite people to your house and like sit on, you know, the front porch or whatever or the backyard and kind of get to know people, I guess.
And that feels weird too, because it's like like normal people dating, you typically don't like meet up at your house
exactly
the first time for safety reasons.
Well, that's why I felt like I can only date famous guys, because I was so scared to date like a regular guy, because I'm like, what if he steals from me? What if he takes a picture while I'm sleeping? What if he like sells a story? I don't know. I felt like I needed to date people that had something to lose, like me.
Right.
So inviting somebody that's famous to my house rather than the guy that works at Starbucks, you just feel more safe, I
right.
guess.
How does he rank on that spectrum? How did you guys actually meet?
We met at the BET Awards.
Oh, okay. Because he's super in the industry, but he's not
and
Mr. Mega
that's
famous
what
too,
I
right?
love about him, that he's not mega famous, but he's still like,
he understands how these people move and what the concerns would be, right?
Right. You know, so, yeah, I love that about him, because it's not, he doesn't have an ego. It's not like my other relationships.
Right.
It's just, it's much, much easier.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Because he worked with Pop Smoke. Did you ever meet Pop?
We love Pop. We were so sad when he passed.
Right.
He was actually coming to our house the next day because he wanted me to do his hair.
Really?
Yes.
You were going to do Pop Smoke's hair. What did you have in mind?
He wanted to dye it blue.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he wanted to dye it blue. And I had got all the stuff for him because he was going to come over. And my husband was going to go to the studio that night.
Wow.
His house. Well, yeah, he was going to go to the studio and then his house that night. And it's funny because a couple days before that, Alex was like, I was like, babe, I feel like you're working a lot. Like, we need to, I'm that type of person. We need to like spend quality time together. He was like, okay, any day you really want me to stay home with you, I'll stay. As long as you say, yo, this is a deal breaker. You got to stay home with me. And that night I said it. That night I was like, honey, I really want you home. I want to watch a movie with you. I want to get some snacks and like lay in the bed and watch a movie. He was like, fine, I'm going to stay home with you.
Right.
That was the night Pop died.
Wow.
He would have been at the house. Like,
that's
God
terrifying.
Forbid. I know.
Wow.
I thank God every day. But yeah, but Pop, I mean, he was a good person. Like,
right.
He was a sweetheart. He was a good kid. He was fucking 19 years old.
Right.
Yeah.
I know. That one's such a tragedy. Like, I mean, it's so hard to make sense of it or like figure out what the lesson should be. You know, I've had friends who like died from drug overdoses, and it's kind of like,
same.
Well, I hope that, you know, some of my other friends will take note of this and stop fucking around with drugs like that. But with the Pop thing, it's like, What's the lesson to be learned? It's just pure human cruelty and just not giving a fuck about other people.
Right. Yep.
No, it's so sad. The first time I ever met you, actually, was backstage at Juice WRLD show. And I just remember...
Really?
Yeah, and I just remember you seeming like so fascinated. Like you had actually really gone out of your way to meet him because you were so interested in him.
I tell my husband that all the time. It was Pop Smoke was probably the last, and then Juice WRLD before that was when I really was like, I'm obsessed.
Right.
Like, I was obsessed with Juice WRLD. I used to tell him all the time, and, like, we used to text all the time, and he's just a lover. He loved his girlfriend so much.
Crazy.
And he would be like, Amber, what ring should I get her? Like, and he would send me pictures, like, should I get this one? Should I get this bracelet for her? Should I do this? And I would kind of walk him through it because, you know, I have boys. I kind of looked at him as, like, another son, kind of.
He was definitely a big kid.
Yeah.
Like, the kid part of him just oozed through so much, even as you were seeing him grow up.
Yeah.
More than very few people I can think of that would have that same combination of, like, being insanely talented and blowing up and becoming incredibly successful, and then also just straight up seeming like a kid.
Yeah.
And having that energy. Yeah, like the way that he used to bring his girl out on stage like almost every night, and like I was there a couple of times seeing her just like in pajamas, like
right.
And he's like dragging her on stage and like just singing to her and stuff. It was just, I mean, I've very rarely in my life have I seen an artist do that like that. It was pretty incredible.
Yeah, he was a good kid.
Definitely.
Yeah.
You ever talk to 21 anymore, or what's the nature of that?
No,
that's 100% over.
Yes.
Right.
I mean, I have a whole baby and a whole man.
Right, but I mean, you're friends with some guys you used to date, right?
No, I'm not friends with anyone.
No, nothing.
No, really? I don't believe in that. I don't need friends.
You don't think it works out in the long run to stay friends with somebody you dated?
Not for me, no.
Okay.
I'm really, like, I'm a real loyal bitch.
Right.
Like, I'm a real down-home loyal bitch. So when I move on and I love somebody else, I don't need friends from my past. I don't need that shit. Like, I don't play those games.
Are you the one who told him to hold the sign that says, I'm a hoe? That was a viral moment that we all loved.
No, actually, he that's what he wanted to do. And okay. I think that was ultimately the demise of our relationship.
Really? You think that's where it started?
Yeah, I think so.
In what way? Like
I think that he was being very supportive. And he was like, man, I should hold a sign that says, I'm a hoe too. And I was like, that would be really great for feminism. Like, slut walk, you know, you're a rapper and like...
just admit it. We all know you're a hoe.
Well, black men are always looked at to be very hyper masculine. And I think this would be a great moment. He's like, yo, I'm down. So I got the sign made and everything. And he held it up. And then after that, I think the internet just went in on him too much. And it was just not... It wasn't good after that.
Wow. That's so crazy.
Yeah.
I feel like he's somebody who really, like, I mean, did you get to see a softer side of him? Because, like, when I listen to his album and stuff, he sort of describes himself as basically being incapable of having a serious relationship. And I'm not sure to what extent that's the reality.
Well, yeah. I mean, obviously, I've seen a very soft side of him, but I think that he's scared to be loved. I think he has his own trauma, you know, his own shit with him. But he's definitely not, like, I don't know. I mean, I wouldn't have been with him for a year. I was with him for like a year. I wouldn't have been with him for a year if he was just not loving
the
at
version
all.
You see on a lot of his albums.
I wouldn't have stayed that long, you know.
Definitely.
Yeah.
Wasn't there a thing though where you like went and like slept in the house that he grew up in, or like you guys went there and there was this like bizarre sort of photo op of you guys together in that environment? Or am
no.
I tripping? No, that didn't happen.
That never happened.
No, okay. I'm making it up. Okay. So the OnlyFans is like a big thing that you're super focused on right now. Obviously motherhood is going amazingly. Is there anything else that you have sort of planned for the world around you, or are you sort of just focused on...
I do. I have a lot of stuff that I'm working on, and I was kind of like, I didn't know if I should come now because I do have other stuff coming out, but maybe I'll just come back and we'll do another interview.
Oh, let's do it.
But yeah, I can't really talk about that stuff, but it's huge.
Really?
Huge, huge.
Interesting.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of stuff that you could do in terms of, like, I'm sure you have book deal offers, TV offers, documentary type stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All that cool stuff.
Interesting.
Yeah. I got some cool stuff coming out.
Very exciting.
Yeah.
Everybody always wants to talk about the forehead tattoo, but I don't know what I would really ask about it because I get it. You know, it's a certain point where we just want to, I mean, like, what could you possibly care about more than your kids that you would want to give them some prime tattoo real estate, right?
Yeah, and then I was sick of people asking me, like, are you Amber Rose?
Right.
I'm Amber Rose.
You get asked that a lot? That's interesting that doesn't just run out at some point when you so obviously
weird.
It's like Amber Rose.
Yes, it's me.
Right.
It's me. Yeah. But I think it's so cool that, like, girls all over the world, you know, shaved their head, dyed it blonde, and, like, wore shades or wear shades, and they love me. Like, I a lot of girls hit me up all the time on Instagram. They literally, I have to look to see if it's, I'm like, who took this picture of me? And it's not me, it's them.
Really?
Yeah.
Does that mean a shitload to you to be able to just inspire the younger generation of girls who are sort of in a similar position to where you were before you blew up?
Yeah, of course. You know, I mean, look, there's enough money for everybody. Mm. There's enough work for everybody. You know, we don't have to be stingy. I don't feel like I'm, you know, I believe that this is my look. I've, you know, I gave this to my generation. Mm. You know what I mean? There's, what's her name? Sinead O'Connor, I guess, before me, and Eve, you know, before me. But for my generation, this is my look. This is me. I gave this to these girls. So
definitely,
that's tight.
That's amazing. I really appreciate you giving me the interview and stuff. It's incredible getting to learn about you. I've been such a fan for such a long time.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
And yeah, might have to be hitting you up for some baby advice when she pops out. I don't know who else we would ask.
I'll send you a whole bunch of shit. Okay. I'm telling, just don't, I mean, I'm sure you guys already did it because she's due on Monday. I would say don't buy a lot of shit.
Right.
Just don't buy a bunch of onesies. You're going to waste your money, bro. And I'm like, in my relationship, I'm the responsible one. I'm the one that's like, I literally took like 2 years off because I'm really good with money. Like, I don't even, I save my money. I don't spend frivolously. I'm telling you, save your money. Don't get anything crazy for this baby.
Yeah.
She doesn't need it.
That's what people keep giving us is just more and more clothes. And it's like, we already
have. Well, good.
Had,
let them give them to you.
Yeah, we already have, like, her closet. Like, when I'm looking at it, I'm like, this is how I imagine, like, Steve Jobs' closet laid out. It's got, like, 10 of everything. Perfect amount. Like, she just didn't want to get too much, so it's just the perfect amount. But then people keep giving us more and more shit. I'm like, okay, this is how the drip
well,
is
going to
start.
Well, you got to think, if you're getting newborn size, right?
Right.
Or within 2 weeks, she's going to be in, like, 3 to 6 months.
Yeah.
So all those clothes you have to give away. And then 3 to 6 months is like when she's 3 months, she might already be in 6 to 12 months.
Right.
Because babies nowadays are much bigger.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But it depends on what she's eating when she's pregnant. I mean, kids grow fat, all the hormones and chicken. And I mean, my kid's like Slash is in a 2T and he just turned one.
Right.
He's in it for a 2-year-old. So don't buy a lot of stuff. I'm gonna give her all the formula that, you know, if she can't breastfeed after a while because it's fucking hard. I'll give you guys everything. I'll text you. I have your number.
Sick.
Hell yeah. I got you.
I'm tapped in. Mothering classes going down. Thank you so much. Appreciate
it
for real.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
No Jumper, coolest podcast in the world. Thank you, Amber Rose. Check us on SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify, all that stuff. Like, comment, subscribe. NoJumper.com if you want to support. I'm getting all these scam calls.
Same.
I know it's the fucking election stuff, too. God, so I hate weird. These people. Peace.